if you would rise and join us in the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. This evening, we are conducting a joint meeting of the Springfield and Lane County Planning Commissions in relation to the Transportation System Plan Implementation Project. Tonight we have cards for comments. There'll be an opportunity tonight to comment to the Planning Commissions. If you haven't gotten a card and you would like to make a comment, they're available. What I would tell you is the Transportation Systems Plan is, this process is a huge undertaking. And you can see with the interest that there is in the community. First, I'd like to thank you as citizens for showing up tonight and being part of the process. This is very important to this planning process. It's really goal one is public engagement and involvement in the process. So we appreciate you as members of the community being here tonight and being part of this process. What I can tell you is we will move through the process. We'll have presentation from staff. We'll have opportunity for public input. This process will not close tonight. This is a public session, and we will continue the public hearing that we will open tonight and leave the public record open at the will of the commissions at least until February 6th, which is a subsequent meeting. And we will reconvene on February 6th. So, we will go through as much public comment as we have time to tonight. What I will tell you is we will close at no later than 10 o'clock unless the planning commissions jointly agree to go later than that this evening. Okay? We have a 3-minute time limit for public comment. And we, as a group, will talk about that. We will, collectively, we appreciate the input, but we need to move through the public comment. And when we get to public comment, we'll talk more about that. So at this time, the other thing I would say is this transportation plan, and staff will talk about this as well, has nothing to do with annexation. So if you're here tonight thinking that this has something to do with annexation, it does not. Staff will address that when they get into their process. So at this time, I will turn it over to our staff. Should we legal counsel? Should we convene the public hearing at this time? So this is a legislative public hearing. And we conduct both legislative and what are called quasi-judicial. This is legislative process, and so we will open the public hearing of the Springfield Planning Commission at this time.
We will open the public hearing of Lane County Planning Commission at this time.
All right. So at this point, I will turn it over to our senior planner, Emma Newman, City of Springfield, and the senior planner from Lane County, Becky Taylor.
Thank you, Chair. Since the commissioners are familiar with the project and the proposed changes, I will primarily be speaking to the public with this introductory statement to better explain the proposed changes that are before the commissions this evening. The City of Springfield adopted the 2035 Transportation System Plan in 2014. In that plan, there were policies, and this project is helping to further implement the plan by taking those policies and updating the Springfield Development Code, adopting the conceptual street map, and making some changes to the TSP project list and figures to implement the already adopted policies. In December, public notice was mailed to all property owners within the Springfield urban growth boundaries in accordance with ballot measure 56, and the associated state statutes. In 1998, Oregon voters approved ballot measure 56. Under ballot measure 56, cities and counties must send a notice to property owners when they, quote, rezone property. Rezoning includes changes to land use regulations that limit or prohibit uses of property that are currently allowed. The city has not determined that these amendments will reduce the value of a specific property. The proposed changes may reduce, may increase, or have no effect on a specific property's value. The public notice included information about this evening's public hearing, as well as information about the January 9th open house, which provided people with an opportunity to drop in and ask staff questions. Additionally, frequently asked question sheets were provided that included the public webpage, which is at the bottom of the FAQ sheet, which contains all of the project materials and information. FAQ sheets were available, and if people need additional FAQ sheets, we're happy to provide those as well this evening. There are three parts to the proposed materials. The first are proposed changes to the Springfield Development Code. The Springfield Development Code is the city's document that contains the requirements that apply when development or redevelopment occurs in Springfield. The proposed changes to the Development Code are helping to further implement the already adopted transportation system plan policies. With the proposed changes in the Springfield Development Code, staff have brought forward an additional recommendation this evening that was distributed at work session that includes an amendment to Table 4.2-1 that pertains to minimum street right-of-way and curb-to-curb widths, adding a footnote for the arterial section of the table stating that arterials that are Oregon Department of Transportation, ODOT facilities, are not subject to the standards in Table 4.2-1, but must meet ODOT design standards. Second is the draft conceptual street map. The draft conceptual street map is helping to further implement the TSP, the Transportation System Plan, to improve transportation system connectivity throughout Springfield and demonstrate conformance with the statewide planning rules. The arterial streets, collector streets, and multi-use paths depicted on the map are an adopted part of the 2035 TSP. The local streets depicted on the map are shown for reference only and are not part of the 2035 TSP. The adopted local street connectivity standards are located in Chapter 4.2 of the Springfield Development Code. And I'd like to speak briefly to the proposal to have both this combination of a visual map and the development code language. The map provides a clear and objective, simple way to provide additional street connectivity throughout Springfield, but then there's additional flexibility in the provisions of the code language itself. There are some communities that rely more heavily on a graphic map, and then other communities that merely provide the code language. So this is kind of a hybrid version that provides the clear and objective nature, but also flexibility. The third portion of the proposed updates and changes are updates to the TSP project lists and maps. The TSP lists and maps identify transportation projects to guide the expansion and improvement of the transport.
Hold for a moment. Can you hear, audience, can you hear Emma? Can you speak
vaguely
into the microphone a little more? Thank you.
Thank you. Third are the updates to the transportation system plan project lists and maps. The project lists and maps identify transportation projects to guide the expansion and improvement of the Springfield transportation system to meet the current and the future travel needs throughout the Springfield community. This is a long-range plan which includes projects within a 20-year and beyond 20-year time frame. The proposed changes being considered are higher-level planning that does not include detailed design concepts for specific projects. When transportation projects move forward from being identified in a long-range plan to being funded and constructed, depending on the type of the project, additional public involvement, planning, and design will occur. Lastly, I'd like to note that no recommendation for decision is being made tonight. There will be a continuation of the public hearing and a recommendation on February 6th here at Springfield City Hall, or we might choose a bigger location depending. We'll let everyone know on the project webpage. After the Planning Commissions make a recommendation, the City Council Lane County Board of Commissioners will start their process, which will include a public hearing and recommendation for adoption. This is really the start of a public hearing process to hear from everyone who wants to provide comment. Lastly, I'd like to note the criteria for approval for this. So for the Springfield Development Code proposed changes and lane code changes, the provisions state that the Lane County Board of Commissioners and Springfield City Council must each adopt findings that demonstrate conformance with the applicable criteria. One, amendment shall be consistent with the relevant statewide planning goals, and two, adoption of the amendment shall not make the metro plan internally inconsistent. Secondly, the development code amendment approval criteria are as follows. In reaching a decision to adopt or amend the Springfield Development Code, the council must adopt findings that demonstrate conformance to the following. One, the metro plan. Two, applicable state statutes. And three, applicable statewide planning goals and administrative rules. And with that, I'd like to turn it over to Becky Taylor to do the intro.
Thank you, commissioners. I'm Becky Taylor, a senior transportation planner with Lane County. My comments are for the public's benefit. I want to reserve as much time as possible to hear from the public, so my presentation will be brief. I wanted to emphasize annexation is not included in this amendment package tonight. Lane County's involvement in this process is to co-adopt Springfield's proposed amendments to apply to the urban transition area, which is the area between the city limits and urban growth boundary. So people here wishing to address their comments to the Lane County Planning Commission, you would be living in, or your concern would be for the lands within the urban growth boundary, but you haven't been annexed yet. And again, we're not proposing annexation. Again, the focus of tonight is to hear from the public. I'm going to be paying attention to public comments relating to the urban transition area for follow-up and to provide those to the Lane County Planning Commission. And there will be a second public hearing on February 6th. We're not making any decisions tonight. I found the impact to the urban transition area regarding these amendments to be minimal. There's a handful of projects with amendments in the urban transition area, and for the most part, the code amendments wouldn't apply to property in the urban transition area until that, they wouldn't be triggered until that property is annexed and upon development. So that would be someone wants to develop their property, and so therefore they annex, and then that would trigger compliance with these code amendments. And with that, I will conclude my staff presentation.
To be specific, the urban growth boundary you're speaking of is the Springfield urban growth boundaries to the Springfield city limits.
Thank you, that is correct.
Okay.
There was a note earlier from a commissioner. If you are providing testimony and know that you live outside of the city limits but within the Springfield urban growth boundary, if you can specify that, that would be helpful.
So as indicated, as you provide testimony, if you know you live in that urban transition area between the city limits and the urban growth boundary, as you address the councils or the commissions, please state that. If you're not aware, that's fine too. We'll certainly take all testimony. But if you do know that, it is specific to the Lane County Planning Commission, and they're very engaged and want to make sure that they can be assured the testimony related to the decisions that they are charged to make. Okay? All right. Are we done with the staff report at this time? So I would ask the Planning Commission, Springfield Planning Commission, if we would want to, under the circumstances, revise the length of testimony, or if we would like to remain at 3-minute testimony threshold. Knowing, though, that we will continue public testimony at our subsequent meeting on February 6th. So what is the desire of the Springfield Planning Commission? It's our discretion, at our discretion.
A question I have is how many comment cards?
29.
We have 29 cards at this time. So that's about an hour and a half's worth of testimony, and it is 7:30. So it sounds to me as if, is that right?
Mm-hmm.
Yep. So it sounds to me as if, you know, that if we had, we have plenty of time to deal with 29 comment cards at this time.
And they can still turn them in.
And yes, and we will continue to take comment cards throughout the course of the hearing. So at this time, you feel like we should stick with our 3-minute time frame? Springfield Planning Commission? Head nods, it's just consensus.
Yeah, 3 is fine. For those who have duplicate testimony, I would just ask them to be understanding about that, but I'm okay with 3.
So the key here, I think, is we want to hear from as many folks that are interested in addressing the commission as possible. It is discretionary. We try to hold a time frame that's reasonable. 3 minutes is typically a reasonable time frame. If you are addressing the planning commissions, we ask that you step forward, state your name and your address, and also state if you are aware if you live in that urban transition zone between the city limit and the edge of the urban growth boundary. Okay, so are we ready? Where are cards? Brenda has them?
I do. We're confirming on just a few things.
Okay. Yes. No. Okay. All right, we have 3. Yes. We have time in our agenda to take testimony in support, take testimony opposed, and take testimony that is neither in support nor opposed to the proposal. So we'll begin the process. We have no cards that are marked as being in support at this time. We have a group of neutrals and we have a group of opposed. So we will move through the testimony of in support unless someone raises their hand. And we'll move to testimony opposed to the proposal. At this time, we'll begin the process. The first request is from Phil Farrington. If you could step forward. Yes, and on deck will be Eric Adams. So Eric Adams will be up after following Phil Farrington.
Good evening, Commissioners. Thank you very much for your attention to this important project and for your service. My name is Phil Farrington. I serve as the Planning and Real Estate Development Director for CDC Management Corp. We also represent the owners of Island Park Professional Center, which is located west of Mill Street, mostly north of A and south of B Street and east of Island Park. There's one building that we own in that complex that is located
south
of
B Street. Can you speak louder?
I sure will. As owners of that property at the Island Park Professional Center, the short story is that we are asking for your recommendations to your respective elected bodies that would recommend removal of a line that's on the conceptual street map. I have about five pages of testimony that's been submitted to you dated January 11th, if you would please refer to that between now and your next hearing. Essentially, if you recall that in the 60s, if anybody was around them, when the Island Park Professional Center was developed, there were agreements that were reached with the city of Springfield regarding the development of A and B streets. Each of those streets was required to be improved at a certain length to city standards, and beyond that point, there was allowance for parking within the right-of-way and to be constructed to a lesser standard. There is no public right-of-way between A and B streets that fronts Island Park. There is a driveway that's used that provides connectivity, but not a public right-of-way. The closest building to the top of the bank of the Island Park Slough is 25 feet roughly, far less than the minimum right-of-way that would be required. By including this line on the map and requiring then dedication and right-of-way of a local street to city standards provides a lot of complications both for Willamette Lane and Island Park and its development or redevelopment, as well as potential redevelopment of the Island Park Professional Center. City planning efforts had identified some 15 times or more the intensity of development that exists right now on the park. There could be a requirement or a need that we would identify for a street in that location. How it looks, where it's located, and so forth, I think needs to be determined through a more cogent planning process that involves the property owner, Willamette Lane, and the city, and not preordaining this new right-of-way and new street where one has never been located on any other prior planning document. So I'm going to ask you to review these materials, come to me with any questions that you have, but I can tell you that having been a parks planner for Willamette Lane, as well as one of the staff planners on this project, that this to me seems like a flaw that I would suggest removing that. It would make it far simpler and easier in a more coherent planning process to make improvements that would allow for the kind of vision that I think the community and the development of a community want to see together. Thank you very much.
Can I get your address, Bill? Thank you.
800 Willamette Street, Suite 750 in Eugene. Thank you.
And for those of you who want to know how long 3 minutes is, that was it. Exactly. Good job. On deck, following Eric Adams is Joe Burns. Okay, Eric?
Good evening, members of the Planning Commission. My name is Eric Adams. I'm the Planning and Development Manager for Willamette Lane Park and Recreation District. Just wanted to say that although I'm signed up to testify in opposition this evening, we certainly do support the city's overall goals for this project, and we're really appreciated the opportunity to coordinate with staff early on in reviewing the earlier drafts. There's a letter I've submitted this evening that will hopefully make its way around to you. Within that, I address six components of this overall package that I'll summarize for you this evening, and if you could read the letter in greater detail, I'll be back at the February 6th hearing to answer any questions you might have. But the first three deal with requested revisions to the code language itself. The first of those seeks to make the review process for neighborhood parks clear and objective, non-discretionary review, as is requested for or proposed by staff for linear parks. Within the street design section, we recommend consideration of situations where streets may need to cross through riparian corridors, wetlands, or steep hillsides to allow for certain non-discretionary standards that would allow applicants, potentially Willamette Lane, to move through that design process without a variance. And then lastly, in section 4.2-150, with respect to multi-use path development, we would like to have some broader language inserted that would sort of encapsulate any potential city adopted land use plan, including Willamette Lane's comprehensive plan, that would then enable construction of those types of facilities through the land use review and approval process. The last item, and this pertains to Mr. Farrington's previous comments, concerns the conceptual street map. As I identify in the letter, there are three specific street extensions that are proposed that affect three of our public parks, Tyson Park, Thurston Hills Natural Area, and Island Park. For Thurston Hills Natural Area, we just request clarification concerning an annexation agreement that's already in place with the city. With respect to the other two, we have concerns about the eventual need and timing of extension of public streets through those parks. From our perspective, given the developed condition within those neighborhoods, ideally that determination will be made based on the factors of a particular development proposal, as demonstrated through a corresponding traffic impact study. Although we understand from staff's presentation and coordinating with them prior to this point that local streets are shown on the conceptual street map for reference purposes only, there is language within the code as proposed that could lock those shown alignments in place, unless it's demonstrated that they are impractical. With that, I will close my comments. Thank you.
Okay. Next up is Eric Adams, and on deck is Joe Burns. Joe Burns is up, and Danny Wright is on deck.
Joe Burns.
That's okay.
Business at 2750 Main Street, and a residence house at 6002 Main, and a rental property on Lower End Centennial. I had some pretty good questions or comments that I need to probably look into a little bit closer, because a lot of my stuff had to deal with Main Street. And so with that email that came out today, I'll probably have more questions or statements or comments or whatever on February 6th. But one of the things that at the open house that I noticed when I was asking and talking with people and talking with some of the staff members, giving some like scenarios like what if this happened, what if that happened, you know, who would have to pay for this, who would have to pay for that. To quote, one of the staff members said that property owners need to do their due diligence to know if this is good or bad for them. And I just came away thinking, there's a lot of people, and myself included, that don't understand 10% of what's in that half inch thick packet of papers to be able to understand that. And maybe it doesn't affect me at all, but I don't know, I didn't come away with a good feeling of being able to just have an answer of they need to figure it out themselves. If those postcards were sent out to every property owner in the city of Springfield, there's probably 100, my guess, maybe 110 people that came to that open house. And I don't know if it was bad timing coming out Christmas time, those postcards. I seen the first date for, I think, the open house, but I didn't see the date for this meeting. Somebody else told me about it. But I think if citizens of property owners knew, just not necessarily big development guys, but just the guy that has the house, you know, with a half an acre that wants to do something to it, and he realizes he has to pay for a street in front of his property that maybe his neighboring properties won't ever develop, so it'll never get done. So they're paying for a street that doesn't do anything. And I specifically asked that on one of the maps, and he said, yeah, that's what would have to happen. I don't know, I'm not very well organized because this wasn't really what I was gonna talk about. So I'll be back February 6th, maybe with some little bit more organization for what pertains to me. But anyhow, that's it.
Thank you. Okay, Danny Wright is up, and Dan Roche is on deck.
Hello, I'm Danny from McKenzie Feed and Pet Supply on Main Street, Springfield. And I've talked with...
Can hear you. Louder.
Hello.
There we go.
Hello, I'm Danny from McKenzie Feed and Pet Supply in Springfield, and I have a property on Main Street. When I first read this TSP, I was very concerned because the 100 foot would take out my front room and all my parking. And so I talked with them and we met. We talked, my comments were addressed with ODOT owning Main Street, that it would have to go through ODOT. So my request is that Main Street should be designated as a separate arterial exempt from the TSP if ODOT grants Springfield Main Street. Please look at the roundabouts out in Glenwood if you have any questions about why I'm asking this. It's important for Main Street to become and continue to be a viable access to Glenwood, to Springfield. If we make it too big, too wide, too narrow, too wide of sidewalks, take out all the businesses on Main Street, what does that leave? Thank you.
Can I get your address, please?
It's 4441 Main Street.
Thank you.
All right. Okay, Dan Roche is up, and Alice Sheck.
Thank you, Dan Roche. Business on 2355 Main Street, and a residence at 791 South 47th. So I'm basically in the urban growth boundary, right on the edge. So I see it as being my home, maybe being developed into a, I'm right on the cusp. My neighbor is city limits. I am on the other edge. So I see an expansion, maybe more traffic, danger to the kids around the neighborhood. I know down by Clearwater, they talked about the expansion of Clearwater coming down, opening all that up. So I'm concerned about just a heavy traffic flow through the neighborhoods with the expansion. And then back my business as the last person, and Joe, I've got a sprinkler automotive on Main Street. I know everything is kind of a stepping stone. I see the traffic. I see the problem with more pedestrians, more traffic, more. I'm a bicycle freak. I love mountain biking. I see the projects coming around town with the Thurston project. I love that. DOD, I'm part of the DOD group. Just totally support all kinds of transportation as it being. I don't see a lot of bus traffic coming to my shop. I'm a car guy, but I'm also a bike guy, so I support all that. The whole Main Street section, like I said before, we've got some bad areas, we've got some great businesses, and a lot of these businesses need the extra parking. I know this is kind of, we're talking more of neighboring here, but it's gonna step into our business aspect. So the area of Main Street in general, as I'm concerned, is going to be more of, I would think, generalized into block by block assessment so that we can help out each individual, either property owner or business owner, and make it good for all involved.
Thank you. Okay. Alice.
Okay, Mary, they offered me a microphone.
Okay. We have a portable microphone, or
the purple one works.
We defer one and grab it.
Okay.
Can you come right here and we'll pull one over for you?
Will that work?
Okay, we have to bring the speakers in there for this to work. Yeah.
And on deck is Bob DuPriest.
Yeah.
Okay.
My name is Alice Sheck. I'm a retired legal secretary, paralegal. I live at 103 T Street, Springfield. And I have lived there 17 years waiting for two little streets to get repaired. Now, instead of falling down, we jump over. There is across the street, across Fifth, other properties for streets. We have a heck of a large amount of Mexican people in the apartments around us, and there's not many property owners like myself. We don't want our places ripped up, and I don't want mine either. I happen to have a double lot, and I'm kind of concerned about that. I was told by a realtor, hang on a few years and that thing's gonna double. Well, it's done more than that. And I don't want that ruined because I have almost two blocks there. And that's about it, I guess. Okay. Thank you much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. Bob DuPriest is up. And Dean Buckhart is on deck.
Hi, I'm Bob DuPriest, representing myself and my wife Connie, who's here. I live at 500 Edgemont Way. Is there a way to put a map up here?
Can we throw the?
Do you want just the general Google map?
I would like to segment between Centennial and D Street and Rainbow and Milk. On the map that I looked at when I came to the open house, there's a big black line going from the end of Prescott, that would be the south end of Prescott, down to Edgemont Way, and in the form of an inverted Y over to Summit. And I would like to point out that it looks great. Can you focus in?
Can you show us the map with the black line?
Yeah, I can.
So, I'm all in favor of connectivity, but this is a hill, and by putting those streets in at some time, it's going to have a consequence that you may not have heard about. One of the principles, or at least aims, of this transportation plan is looking at bicycle transportation. One of the jewels of our Springfield and Eugene community is the North Bank bicycle path. Bicycle path ends on D Street between River Hills and River View. And then the traffic continues down D Street. D Street has no parking on one side, parking on the other side, and two skinny lanes for traffic. Anything that is done to bring more cars down onto D Street is going to make it worse and worse for the bicyclists. I've spent a lot of time walking my dogs on the North Bank area. I know there are a lot of bicycle commuters. There are a lot of recreational bicyclists. And during the hot summertime, there are a lot of cars parked all along South D Street. And my point is that you want to consider the impact of that connectivity has on the bicyclists. In addition, the road that you go, that would be connected up to Summit on the hill, those roads, I moved here in 1952 and lived on Riverview for a while. Those roads have no sidewalks, they're narrow, and by dumping more traffic there, it's going to make a lot worse for pedestrians, for moms pushing baby buggies, that sort of thing. Any questions? Thanks.
Thank you so very much for your testimony. Okay. All right. Dean, is it Burkhart?
Burkhart.
And Donald Jessel is on, or David Jessel is on deck.
Thank you. My name is Dean Burkhart. I live at 1244 Dale Rose Drive in Springfield. I'm representing myself, but also the owners and residents of Orchard View Subdivision, which consists of Dale Rose Drive, a portion of Dale Rose Drive, and Dale Rose Court. The street that we live on, the subdivision, contains blind curves at both ends and is a local street, so it's relatively narrow. We're concerned about an extension of Yolanda Avenue connecting to Dale Rose Drive, which we believe would increase the traffic such that it would classify as a collector street rather than a local street. And it's just not wide enough to even be a minor collector street. The residents have signed a petition. I've got copies here they'll give to Emma and Becky for you, but let me read it. Whereas we, the owners of lots 1 through 23 of Orchard View Subdivision of Lane County, believe that the adoption of the ordinance, and specifically the change in the conceptual street map, will have an adverse effect on our properties, our way of life, and the safety of our residents, in particular children living in our subdivision. Therefore, we object to the extension of Yolanda Avenue from Harvest Lane to connect with Dale Rose Drive, and ask that this planned local street extension be removed from the Springfield conceptual map. Homes in Orchard View Subdivision are situated on a double cul-de-sac. I've kind of blown that up so you can see what it looks like. the extension of Yolanda Avenue to connect with Delrose Drive would be expected to greatly increase traffic through our safe and quiet neighborhood. In particular, during times Page Elementary School speed limits are in effect on Hayden Bridge. Traffic from Yolanda and all streets of the streets east of Harvest Lane and north of Hayden Bridge would be tempted to beat the system by cutting through Orchard View to get up to Hayden Bridge. This increase in traffic, most likely some of it traveling as much as 30 to 40 miles an hour through our residential neighborhood, would be detrimental to the safety of the residents. Proposed Springfield Development Code Amendments Draft 12-15-17 Section 4.2-105 Public Streets A General Provisions Item 3 states, developmental approval shall not be granted where a proposed application would create unsafe traffic conditions. We believe the extension of Yolanda Avenue to connect with Delrose Drive would create unsafe traffic conditions and should not be granted. I've got signatures of all the owners, two copies of these.
Excellent. Provide them for the public record. Question for you, Dean.
Yes.
Is your home within the city limits, right? Because I know on the other side, it's in that transition, or are you in the transition?
We're in the city limits, Bay City Tracks is between Hayden Bridge and Orchard View. There's some county property.
Yes.
But the city
this
jumped
specific
over
area
that.
Is right. Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thanks, Dean. Okay, we have David Jessel.
I'm here.
All right, and Mike Reeder is on deck. So.
Thank you for your time.
Absolutely.
I'm David Jessel. I live at 160 Allen Avenue, and we live in kind of a little boxed area right there by the double roundabout, and we're on the north side of Hayden Bridge, which puts us in the county. We have not been annexed, as this young lady aptly said, yet. And I've got a funny feeling that yet is the key word in all of this. We faced this a couple of years ago, but I'd like to get right to my point. The thing that troubles me more than anything about this is they did open a street up that was blocked off prior to this that goes into Wayside Loop about 3 years ago. Traffic has increased between Wayside Loop and our housing district on a tremendous amount. For people, as this gentleman just said, to cut out there to get to the roundabout to get on to town. And my thing that's bothering me is, follow me very closely, Wayside Loop is really close to the new hospital, is it not? It's not much of a thought to be able to punch a road in there and to let the hospital traffic go right through that neighborhood into the new hospital. There's already paved roads all the way around the new hospital, is there not? And so it's just a matter of just a few 100 feet to put a nice viable road in there. It may not be on the agenda tonight, but you know, if this passes, that's going to be not too far down the street. And the other thing I want to say about this is, 2 months ago there was a killer accident at 5th and Hayden Bridge. That's how fast traffic runs through that area. I know the police can't be there all the time, but we need a little more representation there to slow that traffic down. We live in that little boxed area. We like that little boxed area. Ambulances, fire trucks, all emergency vehicles, school buses can come and go through that area. It's all open. They can come and go. They can come out onto Hayden Bridge at 5th Street. They can come onto Hayden Bridge at 3rd Street. They can come onto Hayden Bridge at Manor. They can come onto the roundabout through, I lost my train of thought all of a sudden, through Wayside Loop, I'll get it out, round through Wayside Loop and come out that way. We do not want any of those roads opened up at all. I've been out of town, I didn't get this till I got home. I went up and down the street today just for a matter of minutes. If you want signed signatures, I'll go out and I'll run up and down the street like we did 2 years ago when you tried to annex us, and we'll bring you in a whole flood of signatures that people who do not want that disturbed. There's about 9 neighbors that I walked up and down Allen Avenue with, and they said, no, go down there and give your piece. I'm giving my piece. I hope you listen to it. I hope you pay attention, and I hope that you would put some boundaries into what you can open up and what you cannot open up in that small area. And thank you for your time.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Good job.
Okay, Mike Reeder is up, and Michael Fleming is on deck.
Good evening, commissioners. My name is Mike Reeder. I am an attorney with the law firm Arnold Gallagher. I'm here tonight representing Joseph DeCotley, who is a Springfield resident inside the urban growth boundary and also a business owner all on Main Street, a landowner and business owner. I'm here tonight to talk about two things in respect to the implementation process of the transportation system plan. One is that we are concerned that the process for the TSP is flawed somewhat in the respect that the stakeholder sounding board did not include any Main Street business owners. Now, there are hundreds of Main Street landowners and business owners along Main Street. It's a minor arterial and a major arterial, depending on where in Springfield Main Street is. And the proposed changes to the arterial standards are concerning to my client as well as others. So first of all, this is a very real problem. I've provided you some written materials. One of those exhibits that I've provided to you is the Highland partition decision, wherein the applicant had property inside the urban growth boundary outside the city limits, wished to partition the property into two, was told that they were required to expand Hayden Bridge Road in one location for one additional lot. We argued unsuccessfully to the hearings official that that was in violation of the Dolan doctrine, that it was an unlawful exaction because it wasn't roughly proportionate to the impact that one additional home would put on Hayden Bridge Road. Unfortunately, the hearings official agreed with the city. The city took the position based on its case law, the McClure case that I've also provided to you for your consideration, that says that when you have legislatively adopted street standards, those standards themselves are not subject to the Dolan analysis, and you heard that from your assistant city attorney tonight, earlier this evening. So what is the problem? Well, the problem is that Main Street standards, the arterial standards for Main Street that would be adopted as part of this process, widely enlarge the right-of-way and the additional dedication that would be required if any Main Street property, regardless of the size of that property, wanted to either divide land, develop vacant property, or redevelop that property. And this is basically front-loading that Dolan issue. And so our proposal is that the proposed SDC be changed to basically exempt Main Street until we've had that Main Street planning process. And I'll close my comments with that. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay. We have Michael Fleming up. And, Dave and June Jennison on deck.
Hello, my name is Michael Fleming, and I'm here on behalf of my father. He has a property of 2186 Laura Street, and you have proposed putting a bike path through the center of that property. The property is roughly 1/2 acre, and we were here for the viewing on the 9th, and I was told then that we could ask questions today as far as why.
Do you want to speak to it?
Sure, yes.
So I believe the project that you're addressing is the already adopted multi-use path. I can zoom in here to show the location. Oops, sorry. Show the location more clearly. Right here at the connection. It's this one. Right here at the connection of Laura and... Sorry, which location is it?
It's the one at the intersection of Laura Street and Brissac.
Yeah, so right here.
They've also proposed another one not more than 400 or 500 feet to the south of that location.
Okay. So that's your concern, are those?
Well, absolutely.
Okay. I don't know if we're going to get to why.
Okay,
yeah.
If not, why? What would happen if there was a bike path through the center of someone's property?
So I can speak to that item. There are no proposed changes as part of this package to change the already adopted projects. If and when there's funding available and the project goes to implementation, there would be more planning involved with that process. But currently there's no identified funding that the city has to build it. It's just in the 20-year plan, no proposed changes at this time.
Okay. What's the process to remove that?
So if the Planning Commission would like to recommend additional elements, we would need to change the staff finding, the draft report for the staff findings to support your ordinances that are before you in draft form this evening. So if you'd like to expand the scope of the original intent of this project, that would be direction we'd need from the Planning Commission.
So let me repeat what you said. What is there on the map has already been adopted as part of the 2015?
In 2014, it was adopted into the 2035 TSP.
Okay. So that was adopted, and if, in fact, the Planning Commission were to choose to expand the scope of this process, take that up. We could take that under consideration, but it would be outside of the scope of this process as it's being presented.
Correct.
Right? Is that right? Okay. So the concern is the current adopted plan. That's your concern, and certainly this is the place to voice that concern. So I appreciate your input. We've taken it down. It's on the public record now. We'll have staff provide some additional information.
And just so everyone knows here, that bike path that's proposed just starts at Laura Street. It doesn't connect to like the bike path that's existing at Pioneer Parkway. It just starts right there and then it heads towards the west.
Okay.
So.
All right. Thank you so much for your testimony.
Thank you.
Okay, we have Dave. And
we'll pass on that.
June Jennison, okay. All right.
What was his last name? Dave's?
Jennison.
Pass.
Okay. All right. We have Joan Daly.
Daly.
Joan Daly. And on deck is Lennon Matthews.
I'm Joan Daly, 3370 Osage Street. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
I own the Springfield.
A little closer to the microphone, please.
The Douglas House. Historic house.
Your address again?
3370 Osage Street. The house is pictured on the wall of this building next to the mayor's office. The proposal is to drive through my property, through my house, and down my driveway or a connected route. I was told not to worry about this, that there would be too much paperwork involved to take it off the historic registry. After hearing the gentleman before me concerned about a bike path going through his father's property, the trust level in the city is zero. I was told not to worry about this because it wouldn't happen until it was developed. Well, the 3.2 acres that I own will not be developed unless I decide to put some of the houses that I've designed on my own property. I need reassurance from this committee that nobody's going to go through my property and through my house and down the driveway for a new bike path or road. Also, being concerned, if I decide to build the two or three houses that I've designed to put on my own land, can I not develop it my own way? Does it have to be the city's plan to develop my property? What a city. Thank you.
Could we see that on the map, please?
It goes down Kinsley.
Okay. I know the area. I'd like to see it on the map.
The Douglas House. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay. Can you point that out to us?
That's right.
Okay.
Right.
I don't see your.
Oh. Sorry, it's just south of Douglas Gardens Park. The conceptual street shown that loops from the left down to the right, connecting to Kinsley.
Okay. All right. All right, next is Lennon Matthews, and on deck is Lucas Huss. Okay, state your name and address.
My name is Lennon Matthews, and I live in Fairhaven Drive.
You can't take our field away because we have tiny yards. I use that field to play with my friends. I have water balloon fights, and I learned how to play baseball, football, and soccer. I play tag, build forts, and find bugs, and all those types of things. So if you take our field away, that's like taking all away our only bit of togetherness we have. Because without big yards, we use the field to hold barbecues, birthday parties, and where I get together to play with my friends.
Personally, I've lived and played in and around this field for almost 10 years. You're taking away our field, and I won't let you. Thank you.
And where was the location of that? Did we get that?
Fairhaven.
Fairhaven?
Yeah. North of Centennial Boulevard, West Springfield.
Okay. All right, I love that. Excellent. Okay, Lucas.
That was Lucas with Lennon.
Okay, they were together then. Okay. And how about Dan Huss? Okay, and on deck is Heather Hawthorne. You have Dan?
Oh, I pass. I don't think I meant to.
Okay. All right. So Heather Hawthorne. And then on deck is Laura Olds.
Can you hear me? Okay, I'm Heather Hawthorne. I'm Lucas and Lennon's neighbor. Mm-hmm. I'm at 1772 Fairhaven. So if you pull that up on the map, you'll see that we are in a cul-de-sac that was specifically designed with narrow streets and small yards, and it winds a bit. There it is. So we do need to use that green area for our kids to play, and that plan there is to connect two points of our neighborhood to the privately owned Fairview Mobile Home Park. And they also have small yards, and they have a common area where they've had dances, it's where their kids play and they ride their bikes. So by connecting those two things, you're removing the safe places for our kids to play. Because those streets are narrow and they wind, you would likely also have to remove a large portion of our sidewalks in order to make it street, I don't know what it would be called, street savvy. So then that would also reduce the safety of the kids, because then they would have less sidewalks. We have a basketball hoop where we play basketball. I don't, but the neighbors do. In both of those areas, So then, I mean, it's literally would change our community drastically. That's really what I'm saying.
Okay.
So thank you.
Thank you. All right, Laura Olds and Danielle Smith on deck.
Hi, my name's Laura Olds. I live at 3501 Garden Avenue. I appreciate you could pull it up there. I am outside city limits, inside urban growth boundary. I'm not claimed by the city or the county when I call somebody to complain. We call it urban fringe. I have two aspects I want to talk about. First, I was not notified of this, and I'm upset that I missed the viewing. I learned about the thing today when a neighbor said, hey, are you going? So I called down to the city, got kind of a cold reception, finally got a call back, said, will you bring me the information on the postcard? Got here, person didn't bring it. He asked somebody else, and she said, oh, it didn't have any information anyways. And I looked at her and I said, but all the websites that I don't know about and all the dates that I don't know about. So they got me one, thank you. Then I looked at my neighbor and they had an agenda and I went, oh, you have an agenda? So I asked for another agenda. The lady said, oh, it's a one-liner and doesn't have any other information on it. And I said, oh, okay. So I started looking at my neighbor's. It was a two-pager with lots of information.
Did you get your agenda?
So then I went back to her and I said, can I get an agenda? This isn't a one-liner. This is two pages. Can I get one, please? And she said, I'm sorry, I have to help other people. She walked away from me. I was not impressed with the county because this directly affects my property. Again, I live at 3501 Garden Avenue. It's right above the red and white line. It says garden. I live at the G.
Did you get your agenda?
I got my agenda.
Who got
Thank
that
you,
for
Mr.
You?
James.
All right.
I appreciate your service.
Absolutely.
And then I noticed that about 100 other agendas came out too.
Absolutely.
Seriously. So I'm here because I just found out about it today, upset that I don't know anything about it, got here, it was really hard to get information about it. You'll see from the diagram up there that you're proposing a road run literally right through my front yard, about 10 feet away from my windows. So I went to the neighbor at the bottom of 34th Street and said, hey, do you guys know about this? The one does not know about it, the one that's on the west. He's a really, really super old man. His children, who are older than me, it could be my parents, pick up some mail. Then the neighbor at 34th Street on the east is here tonight. The neighbors I went to on Dondia, that's directly in front of my house. The one neighbor didn't realize it. She got the postcard, but didn't understand it, and she's highly intelligent because it didn't really say anything about us. So she's here tonight, I want to tell you. She's speaking after me. I talked to the neighbor across from her that is on the bottom of Dondea to the east. She opposes it. She got no notice. Her husband's disabled. She can't make it tonight. She wanted me to come and tell you. I talked to two other neighbors on Garden. They did not get notification. They are opposed to it. I brought one more neighbor.
So it sounds like time is up. It sounds like your concern is notification.
That's There's also, I see this as conceptual. However, it's physically flawed. I invite you guys to come out and walk the property with me that you are proposing.
There'll be additional opportunities for public.
I didn't know that today, did I?
There will be.
Sorry.
Well, I'm just
the neighbor that has physical property. Physical.
Up.
She's here tonight.
Okay, great. Well, hopefully she.
Chair James. Ma'am.
Yes, oh, absolutely.
I wrote your name down.
Okay. I apologize.
I tried to
move talk on.
Okay.
I'm moving on.
All right. So. So we will have, and I'm restating this again because this is very important for you to hear. There will be additional opportunities for public comment on February 6th. The other thing is the Planning Commission's action is forwarded to both Springfield, to the Springfield City Council. There will be another opportunity for public comment with the City Council and the Lane County Commission. will forward their recommendation to the county commissioners as well. So there are additional opportunities for public comment. So we just want you to know, this public comment is critical to the process, all right? So.
I'd like to put something in. I was wondering if we might want to take a break for just a short period of time. One of the commissioners had requested that we might. No, it'd just be very brief.
Okay, we are going to take a 5-minute break to allow a potty break, all right? But we'll wait until this public testimony will hold.
I can wait.
Okay?
Yeah.
All right, so let's break until 28 after. All right? Take a quick break.